It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we're off and running on this 25th day of February 2021. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we also keep the madcap, merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, whereby you can augment your listening experience when the program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you go to headon.live and click on chat room, if you've never been there before, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password and hop right in. You'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Otto and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Hi, I'm Robin, and mercy sakes, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, I'm about half confused, because the fact of the matter is, I keep thinking it's Wednesday, but yesterday was Wednesday. And yesterday was a very busy day. I apologize for my absence, but I was actually walking out of... I went down to the settlements for provisions, and I was walking out of the store when I got a note from my friends at MSNBC asking me if I would be willing to appear on All In with Chris Hayes. And naturally, I never turn them down. I always tell them yes, because I think the world of them, and it's a fine, fine program. And so I did, in fact, say yes, and that means that I spent yesterday afternoon preparing for that instead of doing the program. Because we had to tech at, like, little after 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means that, sorry, clacking. I just realized that I had to get rid of Skype last night on the production machine, the fab machine, so that it wouldn't conflict with the what? Okay, let's try. Oh, when the call came through. Really? Oh, well. We'll deal with that after the program. That was something I forgot to deal with today. Nonetheless, thank you very kindly. Otto in the chat room says you looked good on Chris Hayes, Robin. I appreciate it very much. It was exciting. I won't kid you. It was really exciting, and it was really gratifying to be able to talk to Chris and share some screen time with Faiz Shakir, who's a fine, fine person, and talk a little bit about the death grip stranglehold that Joe Manchin has on West Virginia politics, and the fact that he has turned what was once a vigorous Democratic Party into a moribund cult of personality. What can I say? But again, my apologies, and I'm getting ahead of myself because there are certain things that we do at the beginning of the program, because this program, like every other, begins with gratitude. And therefore, thanks go out on this 25th day of February, as February wanes. And it was a lovely day, by the way. It was so nice outside that although it was a little bit brisk, I fired up the griddle. Because get this, I was at Kroger's. That's an unpaid product placement. And they had flat iron steaks on sale for $1.99 a pound. I got a $15 steak for $3. And I was all excited about it. And I called Agnes and I said, "Oh my God, I can't believe the bargain I just got." And she said, "What?" And I told her. And I said, "I'm coming home and I'm making lunch on the grill outside because it's so nice." And also because a certain brother deacon has been giving me no unending amount of grief for not having posted any food porn pictures in a while. So there will be food porn pictures going up shortly of the aforementioned flat iron steak. Soaked it in Joe Dale's sauce, the marinade from where I grew up in Alabama. And then I sliced up an onion and some portobello mushrooms and some little tiny juicy tomatoes and simmered them, sautéed them on the griddle alongside the steak. And it just gratified my heart. Agnes went after that thing with a will. I mean, there wasn't anything left on the plate to sop up with the bread. And that thrills me to pieces when she does that. So, that having been said, there will be, there because Brother Deacon Asa has said that he thinks that my food porn skills and my smoking skills and my grilling skills and my went the way of my my cast aside sort of masculinity. No, it worked out well. In fact, I was having some leftovers right before the program. It's pathetic. But anyway, every program here begins with gratitude, and so thanks go out for this 25th day of the month to Peter, and thank you to Mark, and thank you to different Mark. In this mansion, there are many Marks. Thank you as well to Charlene, jumping in a la carte. Thank you very kindly, Charlene. Thank you yesterday as well to Josh and Pam in Washington and to our pal Samson. Thank you all so very much for being partial sponsors of the program and keeping this program on the air, because that's how it happens, because we don't have any. Do I still do the Limbaugh, the bad Limbaugh voice now? By the way, it is, like I said, the 25th day of February, 2021, and my friends, Rush Limbaugh is still dead with half his brain decomposing behind his back. Yes. Sorry, had to get that out of the way, because we do still have to do that. But all that having been said, I can happily announce that we have 2 days of fundraising free radio. It's wonderful. And I thank you all for making that happen. Thank you to our pal Stockton Larry for taking up a show on me, and therefore finishing out fundraising and finishing out the matching challenge. Yay! From James, the Finish February Fabulous Challenge. Thank you very kindly indeed. It's going to be a nice couple of days. Today, this evening, tomorrow. Silent R. Lamar says, "Hey, I watched you on the TV. I must say you should have had more airtime, and I would have loved hearing you talk about Mr. Old Joe Asshole." Now. I did as much as I could. That last block of the program is rough because you're up against the hard break where Chris hands the programming off to Rachel. And I think I had enough material for about a 6-hour segment, I had to overprepare. But anyway, it was delightful, and I hope we can I hope we can do more to sort of educate Merca on what it's like to, well, or why it is that we're living under the thumb of a guy who was put in office with not even a million votes. Yeah. So there's that. Hey, thanks for the update, Jack in Shreveport, letting me know both streams are working. Although apparently we did have a about a 1 second burp in the stream, but well, you know, internet weather or whatever. So, thank you, Jack. Thank you very kindly. Steve in New York says, "Well, well, well." Ms. Hillbilly Elitist, TV star, Hillbilly Julia Child, Ms. Steak for Lunch. Oh, my. Are we going to, is it going to be a cranky thorn in the side Thursday? Also, of course, because, a rough ride. Robin! I woke up this morning at about 9 to hear all Tiger talk all the time, especially on CNN. I know. Most of the morning, that was Wednesday morning. I think we're doing two Joey's journals in one place at this evening. And was disappointed because, as far as I'm concerned, unless Tiger was bludgeoned to death with a 9-iron by his wife or mistress, I don't give 9/10 of a crap about Tiger ending up in the rough either with his car or his clubs. Whew. That's hard, Joey. That's rough. That's brutal. Giraffe decided to take a swing at things. I don't care about Tiger Woods, as he is often dressed to the nines, plays the front nine from 9 a.m. till noon, the back nine until 9 p.m., with some not-so-benign wealthy people who believe the minimum wage should only be $9 an hour. Sorry, Sparky, but I don't like the Niners either, because just like Tiger's women, the Niners are all just a bunch of gold diggers. 49ers, can't even remember. Oh, Jesus. As far as the minimum wage is concerned, my new slogan is 25 by 25. That's $25 an hour by 2025, because adjusted for inflation and productivity, that's where the minimum wage should be by 2025. And continues, what Giraffe does, which is par for the course. It appears that Tiger's game has lost a lot over the last 10 years, as it was this week, 11 years ago, that Tiger apologized at a press conference for his Clinton-esque behaviors, as the former Stanford graduate had a wife that would not... Wait for it. Oh, dear God. Yes, the former Stanford grad had a wife who would not... He wasn't former Giraffe. He's still a Stanford grad. I mean, come on. Who would not stand for her Tiger turning into a... Yes, oh, dear God, I can see this from a mile away. Oh, God. Wife would not stand for the Stanford grad Tiger being a... Sometimes it just hurts. Cheetah. A cheetah. That's a devastated llama with the cowbell there. Jeffrey on the back nine now. Yes, there's water on Mars, and there may still be some here in the States. There's also a rover on Mars as well as water. Hell, NASA can drive a rover over 113 million miles and land it safely, and Tiger can't even drive across. Let up! Can't even drive across Los Angeles without wrecking his rover. I meant to check in with our dear friend Tracy, because she knows all the roads around the greater L.A. area, and they said that speed was a factor. You know what I immediately thought when I saw the wreckage and you know, down the hill, and speed was a factor. You know who I thought of? James Dean. And that Porsche Spyder. Mm-hmm. But anyway, without wrecking his rover, it wasn't a rover. It was a Genesis V80, a luxury SUV that was a loner, even, from the golf tournament where he had been, master of ceremonies or some such? Yeah, so back to the rover. Looks like Tiger needs a new driver. Oh, dear. However, yes, there is water on Mars, and Tiger still has plenty of liquid funds. Liquidity. But Tiger's game has been watered down this past decade. It appears that Tiger does not mind his subpar watered-down game, considering, well, wait for it. Yes, Tiger is not concerned about the watered-down, diminished game because Tiger really likes the Soylent Greens.
Soylent Green is people.
1973 sci-fi flick about artificial food featuring Edward G. Robinson, who died in the movie and then died a few months later in real life, just shortly after the movie release date. In fact, the death scene was his last scene before he died. Jeffrey wants another nine. You know, Jeffrey misses a I miss a program. Jeffrey misses a program, and the next thing you know, he can't bottle it up. As it turns out, Tiger liked to play a lot of golf in his dominant years on the PGA Tour. And by the way, you know, Tiger won the U.S. Open in 2019. He's not completely washed up, and he's only 45. He's 5 years before he's on the senior tour. Yes, Tiger liked to play on golf courses with lights and played well into the night under the lights. Also in the evening, while he was married to the Swedish model Elin Nordegren, who went on to date the billionaire Earth destroyer Chris Klein, who is dead. Tiger enjoyed some hopping, happening establishment that, let's say, did not have the best lighting. So many an evening when Tiger was not at home with his wife Elin, he was either golfing under the lights or playing around. In low-lit lounges.
Man, Giraffe hates Tiger.
Any way you look at it, you could say Tiger really... Wait for it. Yes, any way you look at it, you could definitely say that Tiger really likes swinging nightclubs.
Wow.
Well, Robin, I see you have a llama in the studio now. Very nice. Last week, back in 1996, a sheep named Dolly was cloned. Originally, they were going to clone a llama, but decided against it because of the name like Dolly... Well, a name like Dolly, cloning the llama, was just not going to work because then they would have been accused of cloning, wait for it, they might have been accused of cloning the Dolly Llama. And that, of course, would have pissed off the communist Chinese. Okay, Dolly Llama gets an honest-to-God cowbell. Llama bell. Scotty was talking about Glebe Road in Northern Virginia, and I do not want to be glib about Glebe Road, so maybe we could discuss Glebe Road tomorrow because that's when I'll be discussing a very glib politician, considering we were talking about Stanford and Dolly. And a Dolly. Yes, tomorrow we'll have a little discussion about Dolly Hawley, who attended the same school as the cardinal with the big pine tree sticking right up its big S. For now, though, since Scotty brought up Northern Virginia night before last, and having lived near there for a short time in Maryland, I'd like to share a few thoughts about Falls Church, Virginia, a small town near Glebe Road. Actually, my thoughts have very little to do with Falls Church itself, but rather a man who had a church in Virginia run by Jerry Falwell. Falwell had a church in Lynchburg, which I believe his son still pastors, and preaching from the pulpit. Jeffrey notes, I see what Joey did there. Falwell's church equates to False Church, Virginia. Oh, that's good. That one's actually good. What are you doing, Jeffrey? No, we're not going to pass the basket around and attempt to collect from the Horn community just because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, Jeffrey. You know full well that we're not the Falwells. Falwells. It's just too much. We lost Larry Flint last week. And Joey knows, the publisher of Hustler magazine, as he passed away. But Larry Flint did not lose to the huckster and leader of the immoral majority. No. Jerry Falwell, as on this day in 1988, yesterday, the Supreme Court reversed a decision that had originally awarded Falwell and his immoral majority a $150,000 judgment for potential damages due to parody and satire. I'm very well pleased with the rendering of the court's reversal because in reality, even though Larry Flint had a publication called Hustler Magazine, the real hustlers were and still are churches like Jerry Falwell's. Joey's very reticent and humble mother would like to give the blessing on this evening. Moral majority, my ass. With Giraffe bidding a big farewell in hell to Falwell somewhere in False Church, Virginia. Oh, and Jeffrey notes, I'm filling in for Joey today because he's still fielding emails, texts, and phone messages from all the people connected to Joey's journal that have made
numerous positive, supportive, and uplifting comments concerning Robin's appearance on Chris Hayes' show last night on MSNBC. There were so many compliments that Joey could not count them all, which may not be saying much since Joey has trouble counting anyways. However, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, was personally concerned that Robin might attempt to do naked radio on television, and that might have really hurt the numbers. Numbers? It would have destroyed screens all around the world. The only problem with the whole production was that the segment was too short, and you all know me by now. As a giraffe, I only like the really long segments. Yes, I understand that, Jeffrey. I truly do. This has been Joey's Journal for Thursday, the 25th of February, with Giraffe saying, so long for now. And there's a $25 for 2025 challenge. And so even though we are not, fully funded for the month of February, that challenge is out there. If anyone would like to respond to it, thank you very kindly. That was a heck of a journal, Joey and Giraffe. And I have fielded a lot of positive comments as well. And it was humbling indeed. It was just, it was beautiful. People got really excited. Apparently there are a lot of people in the new 90 states of Merca who really, really, really don't like Joe Manchin. And so speaking truth to power apparently encourages people. And I had a wonderful, wonderful outreach because that was my first TV appearance in my authentic self. And I had a number of members of the trans community reach out and thank me, and it just humbled me beyond expression. Truly, I'm not kidding around. I'm not clowning. It touched me to the core of my being, and it was wonderful. And so, if any of you are new listeners, not new listeners, new members of the community, we don't have an audience. We don't have listeners. We are a community, and we talk to each other. And I want to welcome you if you are, in fact, joining in. Wonderful words from old friends and new ones, and I thank you all so very kindly. As to Tiger, Matt in San Francisco says, having 30-plus years of sobriety, the first thing I thought of was painkillers. He had an issue with them in the past due to his injuries from putting his body through the mill to hit the ball. Just had surgery a couple of months back, so they probably prescribed him something for the pain. I hope it was just careless driving and not a sign of perhaps the drugs impairing him. I suppose if it was a major factor, that would be all over the news, so I just hope he's on the mend and the doctors aren't giving him anything he doesn't actually need. Because, yeah, I think he did receive treatment for some sort of opioid or painkiller addiction. I hope he's okay. He was groomed from birth to do one thing. And I'll leave it up to others to make the judgment on whether or not one should do that to one's child. But I have a feeling he spent a big part of his life trying to figure out just who in the world he is. I mean, what, was he 2, 3 when he was on the Carson show, the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, exhibiting with his proud papa as Little Tiger? Little Eldritch exhibited his putting skills. I mean, I think we all, as parents, do a little bit of that. When Ferg was little, as soon as I figured out that he was left-handed, I had an entire career plotted out for him. And we have to guard against that as parents. Because I saw that he was left-handed, and I was like, Well, thank you, universe. You just gave me a pitcher. And so we started playing baseball in the yard together, and he had a little cannon on his left arm, on his left shoulder. And I think by the time he was 5, maybe, we went down to a minor league ball game in Charleston back when they were the Alley Cats. And they had it was a promotional day, I think, with the Got Milk campaign. And they had one of those jugs guns there, the radar guns that measure the speed of a pitch. And he drilled a bullseye at, it wasn't 60 feet, 6 inches. It was something less, but the Jugs gun registered him at like 60 miles an hour. And I was like, oh, find me an agent. It didn't pan out. He enjoyed the heck out of baseball. He went on to raise a ruckus with his body and beat himself up pretty good, but he's turned into every day he's a better human being. And you have to let a kid be who he's going to be. At least that's the way I feel. By the way, Steve in New York pointing out the llama, Gunga Galunga. Gunga. Gunga Galunga. So Joey has that going for him. Hey, llama, isn't there going to be something, you know, a little something for the effort? Gunga Galunga. Okay. Brief cowbell for a Caddyshack reference, yes. Yeah, I think it did. I got your message, David, in South Carolina, Stan. It apparently worked. Mm-hmm. No, he's still Brother Deacon Asa. Bill in Allentown's trying to promote Brother Deacon. He deserves it. He needs to be Brother Bishop Asa. He's been a deacon since I found you years ago. Steve from Georgia, Stan, was just Steve until a few weeks ago. About 5 weeks ago, he became Brother Deacon Steve. Not too long ago, he became Brother Bishop Steve. So I still believe, and I know what you think of the word believe. It should be Brother Bishop Asa. Horn Papacy will take that under advisement. I don't know if Brother Deacon Asa actually wants the added responsibilities that come with being a bishopric. Ooh. Cheetah? Darlene liked that one. I did too. That's hilarious. I thought for sure Giraffe was going to say wouldn't tolerate her tiger becoming a pussycat. Oh dear. LOL, LOL, LOL. Shit, I can't stop laughing right now. Darlene says, what kind of mind in the gutter do I have? Well, you know, I mean, we're 27 minutes into the program, and we're already into the gutter, so what can happen after this? Yeah? Okay. That's good, Darlene. Dave in the Blind says, food porn is wonderful. I'm considering making a chili with portobello mushrooms instead of beef in honor of Tara Devlin, who I found out through listening to your interview with her as a vegetarian, so I'm going to experiment with the chili recipe and see how it works. Dave gets some extra firm tofu and with a really nice, won't fall apart mushroom like a portobello chopped up. It makes a fantastic meatless chili. Dave says, I listened to you on TuneIn last night with Chris Hayes. I enjoyed it immensely. Chris is a great interviewer when given a chance. I'd love to see you doing an hour-long interview and him covering all kinds of things about politics and so forth. Oh, I'd love that, too. I think it would be a blast. It's commercial broadcasting, and that imposes certain limitations on the medium that makes you really... I was really impressed with Faiz Shakir because, oh, my heavenly days... He got his ideas and his concepts out there, and he did it with, I mean, rapid fire speech. It was almost as though, and I mean this as a compliment, a profound compliment. It was almost as though he'd been to auctioneering school. God Almighty, he said more in 30 seconds than it took him less time to get all that said than it gets me to say hi, or my name. Kyle says, I know this isn't the main point of the conversation, but it strikes me as somewhat problematic that we know more about the condition of a golfer, and I'm glad he's relatively okay after the crash, within hours than we did about the attempt by domestic terrorists who had support from inside the government trying to overthrow the new duly elected government for a week. Oh, I know. I know. But that's the way a celebrity-obsessed culture works. But you're right. You're right, Kyle. You're absolutely right. Stephen New York asks, do we need to have a horn sistery? Ooh, now, there's something to think about. So I think we've gotten all the communications out of the way. And thanks for all of that. And by the way, all the credit in the world goes to Agnes last night for the makeup job. She did a fantastic, just wonderful, because, you know, I was a little nervous and afraid of, I'd live in terror of that moment from Broadcast News. Remember the movie? Holly Hunter? The rest? Because I'm a big Holly Hunter fan. But when, why can't I remember his name? He gets his big break to anchor the weekend evening news and proceeds to just pour sweat. And, it's great, tremendously comic, but I was afraid I was going to just sweat the makeup right off of me. I could have. But mercifully, we got through it. And like I said, you all were wonderful. Flavio says, damn it, Robin, I still smoke. I had to wait until minute 55 till you came on. I only have one or two cigarettes a day now, but damn, you did good. You had some heavy hitters before you. Oh, I know. Flavio says, kudos. Thank you. William Hurt was the male lead. No, I'm thinking of something. Albert Brooks. Thank you, Steve. I hate it when things like that just disappear from my brain. Yeah, Albert Brooks and the great sweating scene. It lives in my memory as a looming terror. Like I should have been I should have been dipped by the heel in secret before they. Before I got dressed, but I got through. Exactly. Ralph says at least you weren't dripping makeup. Yeah, because there's Rudy Giuliani too, right? Yes, I didn't have any Grecian formula or Lady Carol, Clairol for that matter, dripping down the side of my head, which is that goes in the win column. Anyway, let's jump into that which forms the basis of Thorn in the Side Thursday. I do love a little bit of comedy. And so, welcome to Costco. I love you. The CEO of Costco, Craig Jelinek, had a little bit of a run-in with Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina. In the Senate Budget Committee, now chaired by Bernie Sanders, they were having a hearing on the, among other things, the minimum wage, which, you know, Joey's right. It should be around $25 an hour, you know, to keep up with inflation and the like. But among other things, I forget. I'm trying to. Where did I see the story? Another member of Congress got zinged today because he talked about. When I was a kid, I earned $6 an hour because they're fiscal conservatives. And the only problem is when you age him out and go turn backward, oh, time and thy flight, the $6 an hour that he made when he was a kid would have been $24 an hour today. They're a little bit slow on the uptake sometimes, these fiscal conservatives. But Costco has indeed raised its bottom wage for people who work there. One of the things that's been long a fact about Costco is that unlike a place like Walmart, where the employee retention rate is abysmal, and they may as well have a revolving door. Yeah, that's it. Stephen, New York. It was John Thune of South Dakota. Genius.
I made $6 an hour.
Costco has a high employee retention rate because, among other things, they're a union shop. And they treat their employees with decency and respect. They employ about 180,000 people in the United States, nowhere near the umpty gajillion that Walmart employs. But beginning next week, they're upping their minimum wage, their base wage, to $16 an hour. And that was an announcement from the hearing today where CEO Craig Jelinek had a run-in with Precious Lindsay. And oddly enough, Costco is doing a land office business. They're not in any danger of financial collapse. And people are happy to work there. And working retail, anybody who's ever done it, can tell you that that is a brutal job. I mean, it's not quite as dangerous, perhaps, as being a high iron worker building skyscrapers or something like that. But there are plenty of opportunities for harm and injury to befall a retail worker. And God knows the pressure is immense. And anybody who's seen a Karen shrieking and babbling and hooting and grunting on any of a number of clips that have gone viral in the last year.
I won't wear a face diaper. I have a condition. I don't have to tell you what the condition is, but it keeps me from wearing a mask because I can't breathe in the mask. And HIPAA and OSHA and the AFL-CIO, they all say I don't have to... Idiots.
And people often treat... I try not to. And I know most of us do as well. I try not to treat people like shit, especially people who are working miserable, dangerous, heart-stealing, soul-sucking jobs. And among other things, you know, Randy and PA... points out that Costco is not a favorite of Wall Street. No, Wall Street does not like Costco because Costco doesn't treat its employees like crap, and Wall Street insists that employees be treated like crap because otherwise the ownership class gets a sad. But so that having been said, I mean, Walmart treats its people like crap. Wall Street loves Walmart. I think Randy points out, I think Target pays $15 an hour. Stephen New York sends along a graphic. The photo about says it. I go to a Costco that's been there for at least 10 years. There are people I know who have worked there since it opened. Also, there's this. Costco's CEO explains how they make record profits. We pay workers $45,000 a year, provide health insurance, and let them unionize, the opposite of what Walmart does. Boom. Mic drop. Flavio pointing out, and damn it, a minimum wage is not an average. It's a floor below which 40-hour per week person should not fall. It's not an average. That means F you, Giuseppe Mancini. You're $11 an hour and the horse you rode in on, grr. That was one of the things I didn't get to get out yesterday. And this notion that he and Bishop Willard Romney are in a bidding war to see who can screw working people harder. Well, I don't think the hillbillies need more than $11 an hour.
Oh, I beg to differ. They don't need more than 10. Huh, beat that, Joe Manchin.
That's disgusting. How can anybody be elected to representative office? No, don't bother. We know the answer. I mean, hell, I gave the answer last night. Joe Manchin maintains his death grip on the West Virginia Democratic Party because even progressive people like me realize that were he to be replaced by a Republican, the Republican would be so godforsaken awful he'd make Joe Manchin look like Karl freaking Marx. that's just the way it is. Doesn't mean it has to be that way, but that's the way it is. So anyway, back to the hearing today. And Craig Jelinek, Lindsey Graham was having a sad over the fact that people might make $15 an hour. But we can't have that. How am I ever going to keep staff down to the ancient family estate of Smolder and Chode? Who's going to go and get my Darvon and Margarita when I need it on the double quick? God, that little hobbit makes me sick. He's not a hobbit. Hobbits were nice people. Or if he's a hobbit, he's a member of the Sackville Bagginses. You know, Lobelia Sackville Baggins. What was her son? Otho or something? They said that Smeagol and Deagol were like kin to the hobbits. He's more like the Smeagol and Deagol type. Yes, my precious.
Okay, Lindsay?
Mr. Chairman, how do you say your last name, sir?
Jelinek.
That's Jelinek.
Like it's spelled.
I want to congratulate you for your attitude that you have about your employees, and it's a great business you have. What was the gross revenues last year of Costco?
Last year, $163 billion.
Okay, what about the year before that?
Year before that was $148.
Okay, so it's been pretty consistent, right?
Correct.
Now, you said something I thought was very very wise. You're not testifying about other areas of the economy, other sectors of the American economy. You're just telling the Costco story. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you have paid vacation?
Yes, we do have paid vacation.
I just want to give an aside. I can't remember going on a vacation until I was in high school. Because if you own a restaurant, it's hard to close. And if you're not there, people steal you blind. So I just want to let you know that my concern is not really about Costco, because I think anybody that makes $158 billion, you can probably at 53, whatever the number is, you can absorb some increase in cost. I'm worried about the small business owner who is struggling because COVID has reduced their capability to earn a living. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
If you're
well, I'm not sure about CEO Jelinek.
Correct, I do.
But I don't understand where he's coming from, because he's a conservative Republican. We've screwed up our response to this pandemic monumentally. I don't know what more this country could have done in terms of governance to screw up our response. But other countries didn't. If you take care of people, and if you take care of businesses, if you set up a paycheck protection program that actually gives money to small businesses instead of giant freaking churches for starts, you don't have the situation that precious Lindsay laid out there, where businesses, you know, go under because the pandemic took them down. You take care of the people. That is the purpose of government. I mean, let's take a moment and consider the preamble to the Constitution. Click, click, click. You know, the we the people thing. It sets up things that the Constitution is going to try to accomplish. Form a more perfect union. And I like to think that this is in order of priority. One, form a more perfect union. Establish justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. You know, it's not a priority list, is it? And secure the blessings of liberty. I think secure the blessings of liberty would have come first after more perfect union, or maybe even before more perfect union. But it's right there. Promote the general welfare. If we had not had Nitwit Nero in office, if, in fact, we had had the woman who actually got a lot more votes than Nitwit Nero did, but pulled up short in terms of becoming president only by operation of a constitutional anachronism that was birthed specifically because of our immersion in the hateful practice of chattel slavery, we would have had a significantly different response. We wouldn't have just now crossed the 500,000 dead mark. We might not have crossed 200,000 dead. It happens every time a Republican gets power. I still grieve when I think about, oh, those long ago days of 2001, when George W. Bush handed off concerns about a terrorist attack in the United States to a guy whose last job had been the head of the Arabian Horse Association. When he was handed the, the report that said we were grievously underprepared for a massive terrorist attack. Now, you take care of this, Brownie. I'm going to go cut some brush in Texas. If, in fact, that same constitutional anachronism had not put George W. Bush in office instead of the guy who got more votes, 9/11 might not have happened. There are real-world consequences to allow a constitutional anachronism rooted in the brutality of chattel slavery to continue to stay on the books. And it happens, Hart Rudman, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Thank you, Ralphs. Hart Rudman report. And think about how this country changed after 9/11. And think about who has lost how much as a result of this godforsaken pandemic that was allowed to rage through this country. Allowed to rage through this country. Even though COVID Caligula knew how dangerous it was.
Yeah, I didn't want to panic the country. Actually, I was hoping to make a buck.
Every time I think of that clip where he tells Bob Woodward that he knew in February, a year ago, and we all know he knew before that because of the story that popped and then died, that the scientific medical intelligence agency actually briefed the White House in December. No, November. November. Let's not forget that, okay? But every time I think about that clip from Bob Woodward, I remember that, and you can find it. It's out there. There's video of Donald Trump saying, you know, every time there's a disaster, there's a great opportunity to make a lot of money. Let it happen. They let it happen. And meanwhile, every day that goes by, even in this new Congress under Democratic control, there is still no amendment to the Constitution offered up, to my knowledge, that would eliminate the Electoral College. Didn't mean to rhyme college and knowledge, but these things happen on the fly sometimes. It's infuriating. It's heartbreaking. And it's, unfortunately, reality. So, apparently, CEO Jelinek did not understand Precious Lindsay's concerns about what had happened if the poor actually got to eat like human beings for a change. No.
I do understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So if you run a restaurant or a hotel and nobody can travel in the country and seating capacity has been reduced by half or more, the revenues are down, and can you understand why an increased mandate from the government in terms of...
Isn't that precious? He's worried about the hotels. I wonder whose hotel he's worried about. Because I did notice a story just the other day about how that vermin-infested flea bag there on Pennsylvania Avenue in the old post office building, you know, the one that's run by COVID Caligula and his son Trader Tot and his son Eric the Dumma. I did notice as how that thing may not make it. It may not survive. It's just terrible. But oddly enough, it's not exclusively because of the pandemic. It's because it's a really awful place to lay your head after a long day of work or sightseeing or anything else in Washington, D.C. But Lindsay's worried about the hotels.
Cost would be a devastating blow.
No, I can't understand why it would be a devastating blow. I think it's a devastating blow to the employees.
Okay, but you can't understand.
I can't tell.
Let's see if I got this right. You can't understand why a restaurant in South Carolina who has got half seating capacity because of COVID, barely hanging on, it would be devastating them to increase their cost in terms of doubling the minimum wage. You don't understand that?
I don't know that I was suggesting doubling the minimum wage. That's not the position.
Proposal is over 5 years, Lindsay.
Yeah, well, 5 years from now.
And my view is I'm not here to discuss a proposal.
Okay.
I'm here strictly to discuss costing.
No, that's fair enough.
I got a little question for Lindsay. If in a business is able to stay in business because it's paying people the poverty wages, ain't there, and that's the onlyest way they can stay in business, don't that mean that they should not be in business? What I'm getting at is it is an artificial imposition of poverty. And they can't stay in business because they only got half the seat in capacity? How about they can't stay in business because their workers and the people who come to see them keep freaking dying? But we're back to COVID relief and the civilized response versus the shithole country response. And our response being, of course, the shithole country response. I mean, could that be part of it? Why aren't entire economies collapsing all around the world in developed, or as I like to say, civilized countries? Why is Denmark not in full-on economic collapse? How is it that people in Australia are managing to live their lives again? New Zealand, they're living their lives again. Oh, wait, could it be because they handled the pandemic in a fairly sane and rational response and actually cared about what was going to happen to people during it? I have dear, dear friends here in this area who are struggling, hanging on for all they're worth, trying to keep businesses open. I don't think Lindsey Graham gives a tinker's damn about them. Lindsey's little old ear is being bent not by people who are making minimum wage or small business owners who are running operations by paying poverty wages. His ears are being bent by people who are the political polar opposite of CEO Jelinek. Period. Nothing further. And it's sickening and it's frustrating. It's not that we spend money. It is how we spend money. I saw a story today out of the New York Post, of all places, ballyhooing the fact that the NYPD has a new experimental robot dog. What's the name of the company? Boston Robotics. And every now and then they put out a seemingly cute video about their robot dog or their robot kangaroo or what the hell ever. And they've put out videos showing people kicking the robot. And the robot has AI and it gets back on task and it gets back on path. And people watch that first video and say, why are they kicking that poor robot dog? It's a robot. But now, done up in a blue and black paint scheme, you know, that's the paint scheme for the NYPD, black and blue, you know, just like they beat people of color. Now they've deployed it to an underserved, underfinanced, underschooled neighborhood. And it has full duplex communications. And from some remote location, an NYPD officer can talk into a microphone and say, criminal, stop. It can climb stairs. And of course, they deployed it in a majority-minority neighborhood. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointed out on Twitter, this is what we mean when we talk about where we spend the money is what matters. Instead of investing in better services for communities, we give them a robot attack dog. And I'm sorry, I look at this and I see the dystopian science fiction future that I was talking about a couple of nights ago. The third book in Richard K. Morgan's Takeshi Kovacs trilogy envisions a planet where it has been torn apart by warfare in centuries past that was prosecuted by means of robotic artificial intelligences. Suffice to say, it's a very dystopian future. And it looks like the NYPD has chosen to take a step toward that dystopia instead of, God knows, the Star Trek future that most of us would like to have. Randy Radar pointing out, it's the Hypno Dog from Fahrenheit 451. Yeah, also exceedingly dystopian. It's not that we spend the money. It's how we spend the money. Yeah, great minds. Randy Radar mentioned Fahrenheit 451, and there was Steve. Reminds me of the fire dog in Fahrenheit 451. Meanwhile, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, don't tell Giraffery, but they might be working on a robot giraffe. I'm sure, because it can, and it might even have a telescoping neck so that it can peeping Tom into windows. Well, Your Honor, we don't have a Fourth Amendment search and seizures problem here because it's a robot. Robots are not people, and therefore they are not subject to the jurisdiction of the Constitution of the United States. It's not even an American citizen. Somewhere out there, probably at Stanford or Yale or Harvard, some horrible person is probably cooking up that horrible idea even as we speak. Meanwhile, Arthur says,
Aren't you concerned you'll have to downgrade your yacht if the minimum wage goes up? The yacht cobblers are always on the front line of economic downgrades.
You can't understand why my idiot right-wing talking point guide in question is atrocious dog shit, really? Is somebody getting me to the fainting couch? I feel the vapors coming on.
Exactly. And did you know that, boat sales went through the roof in 2020? I saw that story out of the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. Boat sales. You know, holes in the water that you throw money into. I kid, I still have dreams of a sailboat, but nothing to sail it on around here. Never once have I seen a sailboat on Somersville Lake or the Kanawha River. Definitely not the New or the Gauley. Not even a sailing kayak. Did you know those exist? Yeah. So that gets us started as far as the first hour of the program is concerned. And this here being a Thursday, I will note that we do. I missed it on Tuesday because I got carried away. Not really carried away, just got engaged in some really, really good conversation. But it being a Thursday, we do have the Green News Report courtesy of Brad and Desi. And I don't like to miss it because they do such fine work. And so consequently, now that we have crossed the first hour of the program and the first hour of the Filler Robster, let's check in with Brad and Desi and see what they've got. Oh, and by the way, we are done with fundraising. I would like to note that I'm still about $1,300 away from being able to schedule the oral surgery that's going to knock me off air for about a week at least, hopefully only a week. And I'd like to get that done before good weather comes on. Since we're not fundraising now, if you'd like to help out with that, you can use the web address GoFundBob, because we started this back before I came out. GoFundBob.com, and that would take a great weight off my mind to be able to, you know, just do this thing. But that having been said, let's check in with Brad and Desi and see what they've got for us.
It's Thursday, February 25, 2021.
I am committed to working cooperatively with all stakeholders and all of Congress to strike the right balance going forward.
Historic Interior Department nominee pledges balance amid GOP attacks. New Postal Service trucks won't be all electric. Texas deregulation cost electricity customers $28 billion, plus...
Data show the pollutants include tens of thousands of pounds of benzene, carbon monoxide, hydrogen sulfide, and sulfur dioxide.
Refineries legally released tons of toxic pollution during Texas power crisis.
Someone should make a law about that. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, 10 years ago at the tender age of 21, parachute into the state of Texas to put up windmills under cover of night?
Probably.
Were she and Al Gore driving through the Permian Basin, secretly unplugging all the rigs? How stupid does Tucker think his audience is?
How much time you got, Chris Hayes? This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, I hate to say it, but more trouble in Texas.
Oh, indeed there is. First, another bomb train explosion, this time in Cameron, Texas, near Austin. The good news is that no one was injured. An 18-wheeler hit a train carrying gasoline, coal, and petroleum products on Tuesday, triggering a huge explosion and fire that officials say will take days to put out. Also in Texas, more fallout from the Texas power crisis and water crisis, as six members of ERCOT, the Texas Electric Grid Operator, resigned this week over the catastrophic, deadly failure of the state's unregulated power system in a winter storm that left millions without heat or electricity.
Sure, fire the board members who were following Texas law.
Exactly. Critics say that state Republican lawmakers are responsible. They knew what kind of system they had, and they embraced it until it failed.
You gotta blame someone other than yourself if you're a Republican.
Plus, a Wall Street Journal analysis has found that thanks to deregulation and privatization of the state's electricity market, Texans have actually paid $28 billion more for their electricity since 2004 than they would have otherwise under a traditional regulated utility structure.
Free market, baby. Free market for suckers.
And adding insult to injury, the Texas crisis also led to more air pollution. Refineries and petrochemical plants scrambled to shut production during the sub-freezing weather, forcing them to flare or burn off gases to prevent damage to the units. According to state data, the five largest oil refineries in the U.S. legally released toxic benzene, carbon monoxide, hydrogen sulfide, and sulfur dioxide into the air, generating clouds of pollution across the East Texas region. Environmental groups say the pollution releases could have been prevented if the plants had been winterized.
Hey, it wouldn't be Texas if they weren't allowed to pollute.
President Joe Biden's nominee for Interior Secretary, Democratic Representative Deb Haaland of New Mexico, appears to be headed to confirmation as the first ever Native American cabinet secretary in U.S. history. In Senate confirmation hearings this week, fossil fuel-funded Republicans labeled Haaland a radical over her pledges to protect tribal communities and public lands and over her opposition to controversial pipelines on Native lands. They even lectured Haaland about the importance of science in decision-making after spending the last 4 years backing the Trump administration's war on science and data. Haaland said that fossil energy plays a major role in America and repeatedly emphasized that if confirmed, she will work to bridge party lines to find balance with Biden's climate agenda.
As part of this balance, the department has a role in harnessing the clean energy potential of our public lands and to create jobs and a new economic opportunities. The president's agenda demonstrates that America's public lands can and should be engines for clean energy production.
Also in the nation's capital, the Biden Department of Energy is moving ahead with a sweeping review of Trump administration energy rules, including a review of several of the Trump administration's most controversial moves in preparation for a possible reversal of policies that weakened energy and water efficiency regulations for light bulbs, showerheads, dishwashers, and more.
God, that was a dumb administration.
Finally, the U.S. Postal Service has unveiled a futuristic design for new postal trucks, but U.S. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy told lawmakers this week that the service would only commit to making 10% of more than 100,000 new postal trucks all electric, citing the cost. All electric delivery trucks would save the Postal Service more than $100 million a year in gasoline costs alone. DeJoy's move seems to defy President Biden's pledge to replace the U.S. government's fleet with all electric vehicles.
What about his pledge to replace Louis DeJoy? Hope that's coming soon. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
This has been your Green News Report.
They are the king and queen of bumpers, no doubt about it. And so we are into the second hour of the program. Remember, there is an offer that goes with the GoFundMe campaign. Anybody kicking in $120 or more gets a horn coffee mug, which I will sign on the bottom with a Sharpie. The mugs are dishwasher safe. They are 15-ounce mugs. They're heavy duty. And they're just darn fun to have your morning, afternoon, or evening cup of Java coffee, Java, Jamoke, Joe, or depending on how you make it, carbon remover. So that's there. And I'm pondering something else, but I haven't quite reached a decision on it. If I do, I'll tell you what it was. How's that? We've got someone on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby. We're Reggie from Decatur, Georgia.
Hey, Reggie. How are you?
Just fine. You bringing up the robotic dog thing. This sounds like something out of both RoboCop and Terminator movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that occurred to me as well. Yes.
Anyone would make a real life RoboCop and Terminator while they're at it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's step one.
Yeah, step one. And you know what Terminators do, right? They kill, right?
Exactly. So this thing doesn't have the ability to shoot anybody yet. But they're not. What would make us think that they wouldn't?
Exactly. And we thought those were just sci-fi movies. We didn't know that this would be all too real.
No. That's the thing about science fiction. We call it science fiction, Reggie, but it's actually speculative fiction. And it speculates on what the future might look like. And these possible futures are reflections of the mindsets and imaginations of the people who created them. For instance, you think about the movie Blade Runner. That was originally a short story by Philip K. Dick, the same guy who did The Man in the High Castle. That short story was called "Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep?"
Right.
And right. Philip K. Dick was not exactly a little ray of sunshine, and so consequently, the future that he envisions is dark and terrifying, and etc. Yeah. On the other hand, there are other authors who were more hopeful. Or creators. You know, Gene Roddenberry wanted to give people a vision of a future that wasn't hopeless and dystopian. And that's how Star Trek came to be.
And then, of course, you had George Lucas' Star Wars.
Well,
right?
Yeah, kind of. But I don't think of George Lucas as a science fiction creator so much as somebody who repurposed really great work by other people. Because Star Wars... I'll get hate mail. Star Wars is a couple of things. One, it's a reimagining of the work of Akira Kurosawa, and it's also a fictionalization of Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces. I think that was the title of it.
Right.
But it was visually stunning and spectacular. But I don't see.
Yeah,
I don't see a whole lot of actual future vision in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
It's impressive and enjoyable as hell. My God, have you seen The Mandalorian?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't, Bob.
It's fantastic. We were absolutely captivated by it.
Of course, I stopped that when The Empire Strikes Back in 1983. I mean, you know.
Oh, purist.
You're right.
Yeah.
What about you, Bob? You've seen all three of those movies.
God, when did I give up on Star Wars? I got through the second trilogy, which was actually the and that confuses me.
Right.
No, by the time the third three came along, I was like, damn, out of here.
Right. And, of course, you forgot about Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, of course. And the funny thing is that Battlestar Galactica is not so much a future movie as it is a backstory.
Right.
It's the backstory of life on Earth.
Right. And, of course, so you're saying that... Harrison Ford's Blade Runner, I mean, you know, Harrison Ford's Blade Runner, you know he was in it. You know, as greedy, dark and as greedy as Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator, you know, created by James Cameron, you know.
Right.
You know. So they were both dark, right? A near-apocalyptic future, that's the Terminator, right? You know? You know, a near-apocalyptic future. You know, machines wiping out humanity. What do you think about that, Bob? Remember, that was what the Terminator was about.
Well, survival, right? I mean, that much of it is becoming more true by the day.
Right. Why do you say that, Bob?
Well, there are, you know, self-driving vehicles. In a way, as someone who has been was raised on science fiction and the space age and everything, I'm
right.
Eager about the future.
Yeah,
but right. I'm also very much
afraid of
it. Yeah, because and primarily because if the future is nothing but a further exercise in capitalist excess, then it's not going to be good for the planet or the people who are on it. One of the things that drives me crazy, I mean, because I was talking Joe Manchin last night on All In. One of the things that just drives me bananas, Reggie, is that Joe Manchin said, and Brad and Desi alluded to it, that he had said he wasn't sure about Deb Haaland. And the idea... that just got all over me like fire ants, Reggie. The idea that Joe Manchin could be unsure about a woman whose ancestors did an absolutely bang-up job of managing this entire hemisphere for about 10,000 years before white folks got here. It's not just offensive. It's not just infuriating.
Yeah.
It's fucking dumb. Mm. And so he finally said that he issued a statement, I think, yesterday, saying, well, I don't necessarily agree with Ms. Haaland on everything, but, we've had a conversation, and she understands that we're going to need fossil fuels for a long time, even if we're going to have a renewable energy future. So what Joe Manchin actually said was that he was going to vote for Deb Haaland because he felt like that she was going to be willing to continue to torment and torture the planet until such time as the planet was rendered unable to sustain human life.
Right. What was your response to all that?
Well, I think you got a pretty good idea from my tone of voice, don't you? I mean, I was fit. I read that, and I was fit to go. I was fit to head right out the door and eat dirt and run rabbits.
Oh.
But because you see, Reggie, climate change is not and never has been real to Joe Manchin. Because Joe Manchin believes in one thing. Joe Manchin.
What?
And he doesn't care what happens to planet Earth or the billions of human beings who exist upon it generation by generation and have for about 100,000 years and our ancestors for about maybe 3-4 million. He doesn't care. He cares about Joe Manchin. He cares about the wealth of Joe Manchin. And so if the planet can no longer sustain human life or if what we have done to wreck the climate is such that we get more of these super winter storms and more hurricanes and more meteorological and climatological disasters, well, that doesn't matter to Joe Manchin as long as it doesn't bother Joe Manchin. And it won't bother Joe Manchin as long as Joe Manchin's bank account is continuing to go up.
But we could all die, you know, including him.
And he's not going to die. He's Joe Manchin. He's going to have a bubble to go live in or something. Or maybe he'll book a non-indentured servant seat on a flight on one of Elon Musk's rockets to Mars.
Just like Donald Trump would, right?
Well, I like to think that Elon Musk won't be heading to Mars before
Donald Trump is heading underground.
Right. But you were pissed off, man, when you heard what he said about that girl, that woman.
Yeah.
You were ready to explode, man. But you didn't, did you? I mean, you know.
Well, we never quite got to that spot, but he's going to do the right thing. He's going to vote for her. And so it is to the eternal shame of every Republican senator who votes against her. I mean, right. the Senator John Jubilation T. Cornpone Kennedy, who has an Oxford education but uses his foghorn leghorn voice.
Right. I'm sure that most of the Kennedys and the ones who are dead, I'm sure that most of them are turning over in their graves right now.
Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not related to those Kennedys, Reggie. He's Kennedy from Louisiana. But he referred to
thank
Deb.
God for that.
He referred to Deb Haaland as a whack job, Reggie, a whack job.
He had to apologize for that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he ought to have it. But that just shows he doesn't have enough dignity not to do it in the first place.
Right. Oof. Right. Well, he should be gone from office, right? He called it a whack job. Well, he got caught, so that's why he has to apologize for it, correct?
Yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't just whack job. That's what people seized upon.
Right.
He called her a neo-socialist left of Lenin whack job.
Right. I'm sure your head exploded when you heard him say that, or when you read him say that.
Well, like I said, it is to the eternal shame of every Republican senator who votes against her, Reggie, because every Republican senator does not have a 10,000-year history of stewardship of this hemisphere. In fact, at best, some of them may have a 400-year history of bad stewardship of this hemisphere. It's worth remembering, Reggie, that this hemisphere in 1491 was the most populous, successful pair of continents in the world.
Right. And look at it now, man.
Yeah.
Look at it now.
White people.
Look at it now. Yeah. Yeah. So what did AOC have to say about this robotic, RoboCop Terminator-like dog, as I like to refer to it?
Reggie, she said in a tweet. And let me see here. Where is it?
Yeah, because, you know.
She said, shout out to everyone who fought against community advocates who demanded these resources go to investments like school counseling instead. Now robotic surveillance ground drones are being deployed for testing on low-income communities of color with under-resourced schools. And she's absolutely right.
Right.
It's about the choices we make.
So they're going to spend a whole bunch of money on creating these RoboCop Terminator-like robotic dogs instead of putting it to where it truly needs to be and belong to. Education, you know, jobs, home, you know, food, whatnot.
Right, and having people who respond to things like mental health crises with something besides 17 rounds from a Glock.
Right. In sensitivity training, that's where the money should go. That and, you know, institutions, you know, like, you know, hospitals and what, and fire departments and whatnot, and yes, police departments. But,
yeah. Exactly.
So I wish they would spend more time on, you know, with sensitivity training instead of these robotic dogs.
Oh, don't say sensitivity training. Reggie, please. Never say sensitivity training where any Republican can hear you, because they will go into paroxysms of insensitive fury. They get all worried and upset and sad and angry anytime anybody suggests to them that there might be any value in learning to treat human beings with dignity instead of 17 rounds from a clock.
I was talking about the cop.
That's pretty much, yeah. But they don't want to they don't want to be sensitive either. Oh, what do you want, Reggie? A sensitive robot attack cop dog thing robot?
They can't be sensitive. Yep. They've got a job to do.
What, go after people for no apparent reason? You know, go become peeping, robotic peeping Tom, you know.
Pretty much,
you know,
yeah.
You know, first robotic dogs and now these flying drones that they already have with surveillance cameras on them. If they haven't used them yet, and trust me, they will, if they haven't done it already. I mean, what's that going to do? Are they trying to take place of real police dogs or what? I'm talking about these robotic canines. And what if they malfunction? You know, machines tend to do that, right?
Because remember, that robotic attack dog, just as John Glenn said, I mentioned this the other day, John Glenn sitting atop Friendship 7 said, and here I sit on top of a thing, a giant bomb, every piece of which was built by the lowest bidder. Same thing for robot police attack dogs. Built, in this case, I think it's Boston Robotics, so they're not the lowest bidder so much as the only bidder. How much do you reckon a robot attack dog costs?
A million?
How many school teachers do you think you could employ in a place like New York City for the cost of a robot attack dog?
A city full?
I mean, how many? How many counselors?
A city full, I believe.
We'll just round it up to citywide. Yeah, a city full. You're right.
Yes, citywide. And what if these things get wet? You know, it does rain. You know.
Oh shit, our robot attack dog done shorted out in the rain.
Exactly. What if these things get wet and they short circuited?
Or electrocute some kid.
Yes. Who thinks it's a real dog? Yeah. You know, haven't they thought about those consequences?
Oh, and wait till they start making laws, making it a felony to kick a robotic attack dog. That'll be assault on an officer.
A robotic officer?
No. It'll be an assault on the peace and dignity of the NYPD.
But it's not real. I mean, you know. I mean, we can't kick a robot dog, but they can kick us humans around. Is that it, Bob?
Pretty much.
Or is it just me again?
You know, you're right on top of it. You got it.
What? Well, we can't kick a robot dog, but they can kick us around.
Precisely.
I'm talking about the cops now. You know. Oh, what if it snows? You know. Again, what if it snows? Or if it gets too hot? You know, in the summertime, then what? What would happen to these robotic dogs then? You know, if it gets too hot. Or if somebody tries to hack into it, right?
Right.
What about that? You know, or steals it, right? What about that?
Makes it run away.
What?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier Philip K. Dick's short story, Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep? How about this? Do robotic dogs get robotic rabies?
Interesting. We won't know that for sure. Unless or until it happens. But, you know, I just hope these things get outlawed, man. You know, what's the matter? Real police dogs don't work hard enough for them anymore?
Well, you got to feed them, Reggie.
Yeah.
Just imagine you could get rid of your entire the entire kibble line item on your police budget if you had all just robot dogs. All they eat is electricity.
You like, right? Yeah. What about that?
So we can heat up the planet some more, charging up the electric robot attack dog. Man, this idea just gets worse by the minute, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But we can. You know, whose stupid idea was this in the first place? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, a robot attack dog, Agnes, in the research department, just let me know.
Yeah.
You can now buy Spot the Robot Dog for the low, low
Kmart price of $74,500. Now that's just the base model, Reggie. That doesn't have the highfalutin police interceptor package on it.
Right.
You know, kind of like a 1992 Dodge Diplomat with the interceptor package on it. You could get a Diplomat for not a lot of money back then. But when you put that eight cylinder engine and that police interceptor package in it, the price went way up.
Yeah, but who's going to want to pay for that? For a robotic dog of that price, a base one at that? Who's going to want to pay for that? Would you?
I wouldn't. But I'm sure somebody like Elon Musk will have a kennel full of them to keep the indentured servants in line on Mars.
Right, right. Him and Joe Manchin? Right.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Reggie, you get him a cowbell for that. Yeah, you get a cowbell for that.
Thanks, Bob. Him and Joe Manchin, and don't forget about Trump. You probably want one, too.
I definitely need a robot attack dog.
Yeah, right.
We're gonna replace all the security and Secret Service people at Mar-a-Lago with robot attack dogs.
Yeah, right. You're gonna have to charge them all up, Mr. Trump, and that's not gonna be easy.
No, we'll have a different robot. We'll have a different robot to plug up the robot attack dogs. They'll be run by steam power.
Right. What if the steam runs out?
You know, we let him. Remember when he was having a hissy over wanting steam catapults on aircraft carriers instead of electromagnetic ones? Yeah. I missed a marvelous opportunity, and it just dawned on me. To give him another name. When that story was a thing, why didn't we refer to him as the steampunk president? Maybe somebody else did.
Well, I guess maybe they did, but I guess the media is not as creative as we thought they would be. You know what I mean?
Oh, and you'll love this. It's not Boston Robotics. It's Boston Dynamics that came up with the robot dog. And Wired had an article a while back. It was back about a year. Not a year ago. It was about 3 days ago, a while back. Headline, Boston Dynamics robot dog is now armed in the name of art. It has a gun on it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's going to pull a Terminator, I swear. With a gun on it. It's gonna pull either a RoboCop, a Terminator, or both. You know?
Yeah.
They use weapons, and this dog will too. I wonder how many clips or how many bullets does it have? How much ammo does it have? And like I said, what's to stop this thing from running amok and shooting people?
Well, to be fair, Boston Dynamics didn't do it. It was an art project. Uh-huh. Some people got hold of one of their robot dogs and put a paintball gun on it just to show the potential for abuse that exists. Yeah. Wow. Well, Reggie, it's been a great conversation, my friend. I'm gonna make some room for anybody in case anybody else wants to jump into the conversation. But you've raised some Jim Dandy issues, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bob. So now they're going to have these robotic police dogs use real live weapons and start shooting people randomly. If that ever goes too far.
It'll be a real blast when those fun loving pranksters over at Fozzie Bear or whatever that the Russian hacking outfit that's the beloved of huggable, cuddleable, snuggleable, lovable Vlad Putin. Hacks into the system.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez.
It'll run amok.
Match.
And who's going to try to stop it? And how can we stop that if that happens? You know, if it starts killing people or shooting innocent people randomly. You know?
Exactly. Reggie, have yourself a good evening, my friend. I trust it's warming up down your way.
Yep, it is. It's warm today.
There's nothing like the arrival of spring in the deep south. Just love it.
So what about you, Nick? What about you, Nick of the Woods, Bob?
We had a couple of mild days yesterday and today. And as of tomorrow through, the middle of next week, it's rain. It's going to rain on us some more.
Right. Well, I just hope they, destroy these robotic police dogs before they become massive productive, mass production like cars,
Oh, no, but you got to understand the NYPD is all proud of itself. This is going to enhance officer safety and save officers' lives.
Yeah, right. But it won't save, it won't keep them from working. They still have a job to do.
That's a good point. The NYPD cop union may not necessarily be crazy about these things because, well, they may put cops out of work.
Yeah, exactly. Will it keep them out of danger, harm's way, or danger? These robotic police dogs, will it keep them out of harm's way or danger? They still have to arrest the suspect, criminals, bad guys. But robotic police dogs can't do that. Now, can they, Bob?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they could. Maybe they could have a taser or a stun gun or something attached, and just once the subject is down, lash it onto a lanyard, a built-in lanyard, and drag them back to the station.
Oh man! Now that'll be but then they'll be accused of excessive force, right? If they did that,
can't accuse an attack dog of excessive force, now can you?
No, you cannot, because they're not real dogs. I'm surprised they don't have tranquilizer dart guns on them either. Two water rats, right?
I'm sure they're working on it.
I'm sure they are.
Reggie, have yourself a good night, my friend. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, you do too, Bob.
All right, see you now.
And I hope your surgery goes well, too, man.
Oh, I do, too. I hope we get to the point where we can do it. That would be very nice.
Right, and please, and don't forget to skip the CPAC,
I got a CPAC story. I'll take that once we're done. You take care, Reggie. Talk to you later, man.
You do too, Bob.
Bye now. Our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur, and I'm glad he reminded me of that because, it is that time of year. The CPAC is on the way. And we know, of course, because of an entire weekend's worth of bullshit-free publicity for CPAC, that, COVID Caligula is going to, the orangutan is going to harangue. But apparently they're having a little bit of a hard time getting guests for CPAC. Because, among other things, they're bringing a dude to speak there. By the name of Horkai J. Aiba. He'll be speaking right after Trader Tot speaks at CPAC. Horkai J. Aiba is a Japanese conservative. He's part of an organization there called the Japanese Conservative Union. And so, in addition to Nitwit Nero, and, the aforementioned Trader Tot, haven't seen any word on whether Precious Princess I-Wank-a-Ma-Daddy Trump Kushner is going to be there. But Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, will be. And, Horkai J. Aiba, it will be right there with him. And this Japanese Conservative Union, It must be a hell of a thing to be the member of the Japanese Conservative Union in a country while its traditions are kind of, conservative in nature. Also, is the in many ways the home of the future, and produces animation that is an absolute cultural it's a phenomenon that isn't very conservative, but former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he graduated first in his class at West Point. I haven't said that in a while. God, it tickles me to death. He'll be there. But Horkai J. Ieba and he'll be talking about the threat that China poses to American relationships in the along the Pacific Rim. And, politics, whatever. But that's not what makes Horkai J. Ieba so doggone interesting. No. He is a nationalist on the order of the kind of nationalism that led to that little dust-up with the United States in 1941. He hates foreigners, just like American conservatives do. I don't hate foreigners. I just hate them when they come to America. That's what makes them foreigners. But this is where it gets real fun. Horkai J. Ieba's group believes that their leader... There's that most dangerous of all words in any language, believe. Latin, it's credo. English, believe. I don't know what it is in Japanese. But the group thinks that their leader has been, because religious beliefs are always such rich veins to be mined for comedy. They believe their dear leader has been reincarnated. Okay, reincarnation is a big part of a number of Asian religions. Okay, that's not the funny part. Nope. Their dear leader is the reincarnation of an alien from the planet Venus, who brought life to Earth millions of years ago. And, of course, this harkens back to a message that I got from our pal Devin a few days ago, that it is now in vogue to think that life was seeded on Earth from Venus. Well, apparently now we know who did the seeding. He first came to CPAC in 2011. Chairman of the Japanese Conservative Union is Horkai J. Ieba. And he's beloved of CPAC because he founded CPAC Japan. And they've been having a little get-together every 4 years there in Tokyo. But he's the leader of a cult called Happy Science. And the leader is the Messiah. And they hustle miracle cures for, of course, COVID-19. Bleach! Ultraviolet butt plugs? Who knows? Happy Science, Vice reports, is a Japanese cult run by a man who claims to be the incarnation of multiple gods while pretending to channel the psychic spirits of anyone from Quetzalcoatl to Bashar al-Assad to Natalie Portman. And that from Sarah Hightower, who is an expert on Japanese cults and was interviewed by Vice News. Oh, my God. Natalie Portman? Bashar al-Assad? Quetzalcoatl? Yeah. And, of course, he's part of, as a member of this cult, as is the case in so many nationalistic organizations, he believes there aren't enough people on this wildly overpopulated freaking planet. He wants Japanese women to have more babies. Funny how any time there's a movement out there to make women bear more children, it's almost never women who are behind it. No, it's usually some fascist dude who's just trying to figure out. This has nothing to do with sex. This is about the need to breed more children for the fatherland. It has nothing to do with the fact that I can't get laid without paying money. Well, what does that have to do with? Well, it really kind of does. I mean, it's a wacky, zany kind of story, right? But it's also a hallmark of the continuing march of global fascism. Because we use euphemisms like nationalist and conservative when what we're actually talking about is people who fucking goose step and invade Manchuria or Poland and slaughter people in places like Nanking or Auschwitz. You know, if it honks like a goose and it steps like a goose, it's a fascist. Okay, a little pushback coming from a certain Brother Deacon. Japanese anime not conservative in nature? I beg to differ, says Brother Deacon Asa. It's all violence and sexual depravity. It's right up the conservatives' alley. Well, true. But it also has a lot of young people running around with cat ears on. Go figure. To each their own. Whole bunch of email coming in. I had a note a little bit ago from our pal, Matt in San Francisco. Probably easier just to search it. Bless you, Robin. Talking about Costco and working in retail and how damn difficult it is. Matt says, having spent a lifetime in retail, I can vouch for everything you stated regarding retail. I recently transitioned myself from retail to the wholesale business to business side, and my mental health has improved 1,000%. For a service economy, we certainly don't appreciate people who provide service. No, we don't. And we would be a far nicer country if we did. As to Lindsay, Matt says, oh, Lindsay, if your workers are stealing you blind, chances are you're treating them like shit. An easy enough conclusion for us to reach, but somehow it's a bridge too far for the likes of Lindsey Graham. And as to fiscal conservatives, Kyle noted, you know, for people who say they care about fiscal issues and the economy, these dumbass conservatives really don't seem to understand how the whole idea of money or the economy works.
I mean, don't you just love these fucking Republicans? Jesus fucking Christ, I've asked this a million times, but one more time. How the fuck do people actually vote for them? Well, they come out, and whether they believe it or not, they say things that ignorant, hateful people want to hear said. That's the entire definition of the Trump presidency. Thank goodness, Kyle notes. I can turn the volume down on my AirPods when Lindsay starts talking. If only he came with a real-life mute button. Albert in Rhode Island says, all the Congress members who object to raising the minimum wage should have to earn only it for 6 months. All of their other assets will be frozen. How long do you think it would take for them to change their minds? I don't think they would. They'd know that in 6 months they were getting it all back. And speaking of minimum wage, somebody calculated, thank you, David, in South Carolina, Stan, for sending this along. Somebody calculated the minimum wage, or not the minimum wage, but the hourly wage of Joe Manchin's daughter, Heather Bresch. You may have forgotten by now, but several years ago, there was a huge dust-up because it turned out that Heather Bresch didn't actually do anything to get her master's degree from my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, otherwise known as West Virginia University. She just hung out being Joe Manchin's daughter for a while, and they said, hey, you're Joe Manchin's daughter, aren't you? Yeah. We found this master's degree. It's got your name on it. Here. Oh, thank you. And then went on to become the CEO of Mylan Pharmaceuticals, which she subsequently moved the headquarters of to the Netherlands so that she could avoid paying taxes to the country that makes her lifestyle possible. And so her hourly wage, woof, good work if you can get it, $9,150 an hour. The guy who thinks that paying a hillbilly or any other American $15 an hour has a daughter with a bullshit degree who made $9,150 an hour. Oh, by the way, Heather retired last year. Hint, Heather ain't 65. If she was, she would have been born when Joe was 10. As for conservative Republicans, Flavio points out, I think we'd do well to remember nobody on their side is operating in good faith. They are not. We should act accordingly on our side. We should not trust them at all and always call them out on their bullshit. Enough of decorum. Oh, wow, do I have a great example of that. Let me go to this because it's all right. So there was another historic moment in the House of Representatives today. The House passed the Equality Act again because they passed it the first time in 2019. It guarantees equal rights, civil rights, for, among other people, but not exclusively, the LGBTQ plus community. And there was lots of Sturm und Drang to attend that, and we'll get to it. But meanwhile, on the other side of the Capitol, they were holding the confirmation hearing for Dr. Rachel Levine, the brilliant physician and public health scientist who was the former director of health in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and earned the ire of mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freaks like Rick Wiles, who called for her to be driven out of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, who, in essence, called for her to be killed. Now, why would they do something like that? Because she's a trans woman. That's why. Because she's a trans woman. Well, sitting on the, I presume, health, education, labor, and pensions
Committee, where the hearing, I believe, was had, is none other than libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul and that thing on his head, who, despite having been shown in or having been encouraged in rather profound terms to stop being such a dick, persists in his penicitude. And so it was that he got a chance to ask a question of Dr. Levine, but instead of asking her a question, because, you know, he's a libertarian ophthalmologist, he's comfortably well off, he's socially secure. He was such a terrible ophthalmologist, in fact, that he couldn't get board certified by the National Board of Ophthalmology. So instead, he came up with his own libertarian certifying board. You know, you can't say that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, isn't at least a creative soul. Came up with his own libertarian ophthalmology board and certified himself because he dreamed it up and he owns and controls it. Shall we certify me as an ophthalmologist? Oh, I think we shall. Oh, all in favor? Me. Good enough. So he lectures a woman about, you'll hear it, but Dr. Levine has more knowledge in her her fingernail clippings than Rand Paul will ever have if he lives to be a million and studies every day. Rand Paul does not like trans people, bottom line.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally
condemned. Genital mutilation.
Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but as WHO notes, that by social convention. So,
stand by. He's talking about genital mutilation. And we know what we understand, what is broadly understood by the term genital mutilation. The horrific, heartbreaking, brutal, vicious, ignorant, tormented practice of what is referred to as female circumcision. And it takes a number of forms, and it is sickening in the extreme. A young girl, without getting too graphic, will be held down by other women while her clitoris is cut off, cut out. In some of these benighted cultures, a girl's vaginal opening will be slashed and sewn together so that she can never have sex. Suffice to say, this leads to a distinct shortening of the girl's life. And they are, and it seems superfluous to even say, but it's done under unsanitary conditions, as if there were any conditions under which it could be could or should be done. Infections are rife with the process, and that's what we mean by genital mutilation. Of course, as David in South Carolina Stan points out, nobody ever talks about male circumcision when we talk about genital mutilation. Good God, if Randy Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, mentioned male circumcision in terms of genital mutilation, he would have the vast majority of the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians on top of him. Not to mention a couple of other religions. But that ain't what he's talking about. And he's also not talking about what's done to some poor young child in some country in Africa or South or Central Asia or anywhere else. No, that's not what he's talking about.
Social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community. American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have...
Time out, but I may be wrong. I don't think the GnRH agonists are actually hormones. They stop the production. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm because I'm not a biochemist and I don't play one on the radio. But this is just part of the ongoing assault against trans people all over this country. At last check, there have been 20 states with bills introduced to try to erase trans people from society. But nevertheless, he has a question, finally, because he thinks he's ever so clever, but he's actually, you know, ever so stupid.
Supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation.
Did you catch that? Prepubertal children with gender identity issues, gender dysphoria, will resolve in a few years as long as they aren't given medication to resolve the dysphoria and as long as they aren't given social affirmation. So all we got to do is withhold medication from little trans kids and tell them they're horrible people and ruin their psyches for the rest of their lives. And they'll be all better. Fuck you, Rand Paul.
Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field.
Yeah. Really proud of Dr. Levine. She did not say, among other things, well, Senator Rand Paul, I have to say that as a medical professional, I'm pretty sure that thing on your head has a higher IQ than the head underneath it does. You bigoted, phobic freak. You walking argument for abortion. Nope, she didn't do that because she's a decent human being and nothing at all, I suppose, like me. I got a lot to learn. Oh, God. It's
It's spreading like a damn virus. Absolutely sickening. As to the Japanese CPAC guy, I have been upbraided. Kylan, Kentucky stand. What the fuck? Christ, Robin, at least warn me before I spit my beer all over it. My God, this reincarnation from Venus conspiracy is my new favorite thing, though. I understand. I understand. Kyle adding, how does one nominate a person for consideration for the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Because I'd like to nominate Rand Paul's neighbor. Cynthia in the Bay Area noting, Rand Paul is mentally mutilated. I'd give him a piece of my mind if I could, but I doubt he has anywhere to put it. Or if he would have be able to even do anything with it. Kyle in all caps, nothing, just simply, fuck you, Rand Paul. Because it's gotten to the point where if you're a senator of the United States, you really, it's not okay anymore to holler about, they still do. But, daggummit, we told him it wasn't okay to holler vicious epithets about people of color. And we've told him it's not okay to express the mind-bending hate for women. And we took anti-Semitism away from him. Somebody has to bear their hatred. Hi. Here we are. The robot attack dog has got the things that this community seizes on in a conversation never cease to amaze me. Jack in Shreveport says, robot dogs? Have any of the super geniuses designing these robot dogs asked how they might react when you try to cut their nuts off? Use the word neuter if you prefer. Well, we've gone from do robots dream of electric sheep to do robot attack dogs have electric balls. I knew it was going to be rough when we started the program and got into the gutter so early. Oh, well. You'll have that. Randy in PA says, wait till the Border Patrol gets a hold of a robot attack dog. Oh, yeah. They'll be able to snarl in Spanish. The Japanese CPAC guy, Scott in San Diego notes, reminds me his name, Horkai J. Iabe, reminds me of Artie Johnson's dirty old man character on Laugh-In who always tried to accost Ruth Buzzy on the park bench, Tyrone F. Horny. Sheesh. And as to the robot attack dogs, Scott said, I can just see it. One of these mechanical canines squatting and leaving a little pile of bolts and batteries on the public sidewalk. Watch where you step. Okay, that's quality. That's good. That's a good one. This from Brother Deacon Asa, a.k.a. Genghis Khan. If it honks like a goose and steps like a goose, what do you have against those poor precision marching enthusiasts, you monster? I know. Yeah, that resolution, Jeremy picked up on this right quick, that resolution of gender dysphoria, Jeremy notes, may come in the form of a noose or a bullet. Fuck that piece of shit. Yeah, or just being beaten to death by a loving parent. I've been warned from time to time about not delving too deeply into these doggone trans issues, but hey, we're in the news today. That business about it resolving is a giant load of horseshit. I wasn't affirmed. I wasn't given medications that could have changed everything. I don't know if those medications even existed when I was a kid. But I can guarantee you that my dear sister, Terry, and I
were not affirmed and we weren't medicated. And shh, it never went away because it doesn't go away. And you know what? Maybe I don't know who the quack was that came up with that 93% number. It goes away 93% of the time. Those kids aren't trans. Okay? Let's just be really, really clear about it. Those kids aren't trans. Gender is a dynamic. And as Kinsey proved, there's a scale. Absolutely, totally heterosexual male on the one end and absolutely, totally heterosexual female on the other. Or female and male on one end and absolutely, totally homosexual. That's the Kinsey scale of sexuality. Gender's a little like that, too. But it doesn't go away. And if 93% of cases resolve, that means that 7% don't. And 7% is actually 7 times as many trans kids as are thought to actually exist in the population generally, you know, around 1%. So if it's actually 7%, oh my God, what are we doing to the other 6%? Jesus Christ. Think of the horror. Think of the anguish. Think of the misery. Think of the grief. Maybe that explains a little bit better why upwards of 40% of trans people at least attempt suicide once in their lives. And why all too many succeed. But you know what? These goddamn Republicans, they'd be happy if we all tried and all succeeded. For reasons, especially coming from people who call themselves followers of the Prince of Peace, that absolutely evades me. Except for the fact that conservatives have to have someone to hate, have to have someone to loathe and despise, because otherwise they would have to live with the failings of their own miserable lives. It's where it comes from. Sure it is. Yeah, Kyle pointing out Dr. Levine answered the question with far more grace than I would ever have. Yeah. Matt in San Francisco, Rand Paul, just when I thought I couldn't hate Rand Paul any more than I already do. Oh, don't ever think you found that spot, Matt, because Rand Paul will show you that there's more. He's a Ginsu commercial of despicableness. But wait, there's more. Here's Rand Paul on trans people. Steve in New York says, I'm channeling my inner Scott. Why can't people like Rand Paul just mind their fucking business and leave it to kids and their parents? Well, because Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is a small government Republican. And he wants a government so small that it can get inside a woman's uterus and control her reproductive organs and get inside little trans kids and control their gender identity. That's why. Back to the robot attack dogs. Freight Train Frank says, do you take a robotic attack dog to a robotic veterinarian for repairs? What happened? And if you feed a robotic attack dog peanut butter, does it look like it's speaking like a human? Oh, no, it can already speak like a human. Because it's got a human back at Base Camp Alpha. Oh, my God. There's a funny. I loved, when I was a kid, I loved Barney Miller. Can you imagine any of the folks at the precinct in Barney Miller running an NYPD robot attack dog? Fish. Wojciechowicz. Oh, what was Steve Landisberg's character? That would be the driest, most sardonic robotic attack dog in all history. Yeah. How about that? Robert in Australia points out, you know, 98% of statistics are made up on the spot. In Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist case, that's certainly true. And reminds us, there was a modern-day remake of War of the Worlds, TV series from Europe recently. Instead of tripods, the survivors of the initial attack are picked off one by one by the Boston Dynamics robot dogs. For the show, they're armed with guns mounted on top with internal biological parts. Oh, I'm sure they're already working on that. Yeah. Dear God. Who said that earlier? When I was talking to Reggie, he said, "Robin, quit whispering that into the ear of the universe. They'll come up with it." Let's run over and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Dear sweet merciful Jesus.
What? I know.
Rand Paul, obviously, he exercises as much care with his stupid talking points as the guy who created that thing on his head. I mean, I've seen chia heads, you know, with
chia.
God damn, I don't know. I just don't know. I wake up every day and fire up the old horn machine, and I hear this stuff, and I just want to get back and get under the covers, Robert. I'm telling you. That's a good call, by the way, with Jesse.
Jesse? Reggie?
Reggie, I'm sorry. Why do I call Reggie Jesse and Jesse Reggie? I don't know.
I didn't know we had a Jesse.
No, we don't. It's coffee deficit.
We've got Jessica up in Minnesota, but she never calls.
Well,
don't confuse me any more than I already am, for pity's sakes.
Well, here's the deal. Today is what, Thursday? And normally Wednesday is the day when the guy comes with his gas-powered weed whacker and gas-powered leaf blower to do what little of a lawn we have at this little complex in beautiful North Park. And it's a lovely day. It's like 71 degrees out there, so I open the front door.
Oh, here we go. Lovely day.
Open the window, and I am just like, and I was like a two-pack-a-day smoker for a couple of decades. And I'm like sitting here overcome with not only the noxious fumes from the gas-powered lawn equipment, but also, you know, there's dust and pollen. We're getting towards springtime here in the beautiful western states. And like, I don't normally have allergy problems, but I'm telling you, I feel like I've got, you know, a marching band inside of my head. Talk me down, Robin. Talk me down. Jeez.
I don't know if I can.
But that does. Someone wrote in and asked, you know, why doesn't Rand Paul and the rest of them, why don't they just mind their own fucking business? Well, this is their business, isn't it? They must comment on every goddamn thing that they don't like. It's a wonder they have time to sleep. You know, it's like every goddamn thing that's trying to elevate the human condition and lighten the load of our fellow human beings, they've got to find fault with it. There's just, it's like, and there must be money in it, because that type of folks, they don't do anything unless there's, you know, unless there's big bucks attached to it. There must be money to it. And they're running out of people to bash. You know, for years, it was
precisely the gay, my the point.
Yeah. The gays and the lesbians, you know, oh, we must never let them get married. It will ruin. It will destroy.
No. The source of all this angst and mishigas actually tracks back to 1865. It started when we took their human beings away from them.
Well, yeah, there's that. That is.
And so then they came up. Then they came up with Jim Crow. And they held on to that for about 75 years. And then women got the vote, so there that went. And we've been steadily taking away people for them to hate. Hey, I got a thing, Scott. Here's an idea.
All right.
They have to hate somebody, right? Why don't we let them hate themselves?
Well, they already do. It's just that they, rather than deal with their own failings and shortcomings and meanness, they've got to project it. Isn't that the psychological term, projection?
I do believe it is.
And Trump was the fucking master of that shit. Every tweet, every utterance that came from his, you know, ugly maw. Is that what it is? The maw, the mouth?
His gob. His gob.
His gob. Yes. Shut your festering gob, you twit. You know, everything that issues forth from that orange fellow was an indictment of himself. Everything that he said he didn't like about somebody else, you could find it in the record, him already being that way. That if their parents were still alive, they should all be sent to their rooms without supper. I'm telling you, and I know that's a harsh thing to do to a child, but they are in fact children, the immature, mean-spirited children in adult bodies, some of them anyway. And I, you know, CPAC. What day is what's his name speaking? Is it the other guy? The other fellow is Biden calls him.
I'm guessing Saturday. That's the big day. It's immediately before whenever it is they're going to have their straw poll with votes cast by people with straw heads.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be a thrill to watch. I don't think that I know that C-SPAN carries it, and I know that C-SPAN tries to be balanced. But given the hate speech that has gone on in years past and you know is going to go on this time around, I don't think they should carry it. They're rich and powerful. Let them work out streaming for whoever wants to watch it on their own dime. I hate to think that part of my fucking cable bill is going to support the airing of this horror this weekend. Where's it coming from? I think Florida this time, I think I read.
Yeah, they usually have it on the Maryland side of D.C. I forget the name of the place, but it's
the National Harbor.
Yeah, National Harbor. But because of COVID, they had to go to a COVID-friendly state. So it's being held in Florida.
Maybe that'll work to everyone's advantage, at least on our side.
Oh, I hope there's not a mask in sight down there.
And I hate to laugh. No, I don't. I love to laugh. But I just, you know. And I've said my share of mean things about them on the other side. But it's not done out of meanness. It's sourced in reality. And it's sourced in showing them to be the twerps that they are. You know? I'm just trying to help them. Don't they see it, Bob? Robin, I'm just trying to help them become better people.
I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, bless your heart, right?
It's like It's like, is it Sisyphus, the guy that rolls the
with the rock
boulder up the hill? Oh God, it's an endless. It's an endless.
I was confused Sisyphus and Prometheus. Prometheus got strapped, and you know, maybe they were killing two birds with one stone. Sisyphus, for bringing fire to humans, got strapped to a rock, and ravens come and peck out his liver, and every time that they've wiped out the last of the liver grows back, and the ravens come back. Sisyphus, on the other hand, pushes a rock up a hill, and it always rolls back. Man, wouldn't that suck for the guy strapped to the rock?
Well, that too.
I mean, is it the same? I'm a little short on my Greek mythology. Is it the same rock? Because I'm not sure who's getting the short end of the stick on this one.
I don't know either. I just... And what about...
Oh, and COVID Caligula is speaking on Sunday. Thank you, Ralphs. Ad hoc research department.
Defiling the Lord's Day, Jesus. And what about Ron Johnson? Now there is a case there. I mean, there is a bona fide case of madness.
Is I don't think that's madness. I think that's a severe intellectual disability.
Well, has he undertaken a new project to, at long last, finally become the worst senator ever elected by the voters of Wisconsin?
Okay, good. Yes. By the voters of Wisconsin, because I thought you were just going to stop with worst senator. And I was, no. He's still got a long way to go to get to Rufus King.
Yeah, but I mean, for most of my life, when you think of despicable senators from Wisconsin, the dairy state, the cheese emporium of the world, the worst one for almost all of my life has been Joseph R. McCarthy, the red baiting commie hunter looking under every bed in America. And is he like trying to cut Joe McCarthy some slack? He's doing a hell of a job, Robin, doing a hell of a job.
Precisely. Then again, maybe he's just maybe he's playing Curly to McCarthy's Mo.
Curly as in Stooges Curly?
Yeah. Or maybe he's playing Larry to McCarthy's Mo.
I always thought Larry was an excellent stooge, but he never got the kudos that the other. See, because you've got to have
he had the most. I mean, sure, Curly gets the accolades for the whoop 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 and all of that, but it was Larry had the voice.
Well, not only that, but some of the takes that he did. If you sit and watch the Three Stooges.
Hey, how did this just happen?
Well, we do this. This is what we do, Robin. I mean, come on.
Okay, just checking.
After all this time, you don't realize the dynamic here. Our minds are fluid. We're, you know, never mind lava coming.
Yours may be fluid. Mine's soup.
Soup. Yeah, I thought I saw a couple of oyster crackers floating around there. But, you know, you can watch Curly and Mo going at it, but forget about that and focus on Larry.
Oh, Jesus, the oyster in the soup.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
And my favorite part of it, Curly or Shemp, because they had two different versions of it. This is the clam chowder, okay? And he puts oyster crackers on the surface of the clam chowder in the bowl. And the clam sticks its little shelly self up and squirts clam.
Yeah, spits in his face.
At him. And he gets all, hot under the collar. And he puts pepper on the clam chowder. And the clam
sneezes.
Splashes soup in his face by sneezing. And then he wipes his face, and then he's like, It's like a sack of M&Ms, okay? But he's taking both hands, moving them apart, trying to see what the hell's going on under the surface of the bowl of chowder. It's classic stuff. God, stop me before I free associate again.
Hey, welcome to Stooges Radio.
Hey, yeah, bring BYOP, bring your own pie.
Going back to Rand Paul for a moment, though, I had a note from Matt in San Francisco. It must be said regarding the transphobes, the stream of unconsciousness that Rand Paul spewed forth leads to the murder of trans people who just want to live their lives. For that very reason, I find my pacifist self struggling to not act out the desire to beat the shit out of them. But, you know, Agent Fred, Matt's not gonna, because Matt is mature and decent. But, Lord, they do make a chore of it, don't they?
Well, I may have answered my own question, why do they do this? They do this so they don't have to do an honest day's work. They aren't sent up there to pound their Bibles or anything else. And well, maybe they are. I'm sure some of their supporters, they love it when they do that shit. Get up there and just rant and rave, you know, doing everything but foaming at the mouth.
Love it. Okay? They pay for it. It's why they do it. Well, It's the open guitar box of a busker. I'm sure Rand Paul is cashing checks this very evening, and the same with Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber. I got a clip from her. If you've got the stomach for it,
go ahead. You've given me somewhat a bit of immunity because you have inoculated me with Rand Paul's nonsense. So yeah, I think I can take it. Go ahead, Robin. Go ahead.
And not just her, but Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber tried yesterday this ugly little stunt to adjourn the House so that they couldn't vote on the Equality Act. And it failed. But in the course of the entire process, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, who has no committee assignments now, spoke on the floor and was, I mean, if you thought Rand Paul was nasty, oh, for pity's sakes. I mean, this was just awful. Let me see. I'm trying to get this thing open. I got just way too damn many tabs. And let's copy and try it somewhere else. Oh, there it is. Let's see here. Damn it, where'd it go? Maybe, no, you couldn't hear it there. Sorry, this is what happens when the host produces the program.
Need to brush up on my golf announcer voice and in quiet tone say, and now as Robin frantically switches around from device to device and tab to tab,
yes,
find the audio file.
There we go. I think maybe I found it. Here she is. This is the love of the followers of the Prince of Peace.
Despite being the first and only president in history to be impeached twice, former president.
That's not it.
No, I can't imagine her saying that.
No, me neither. There we go. Okay, we'll get there yet. So she tweeted, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber did, "Today, I rose in defense of women, girls, and children. The so-called Equality Act needs to be struck down."
Well, honey, it hasn't been passed into law. You can't strike down something that hasn't been passed into law. And that is a court's job, not yours, you fucking twit.
Arise today in defense of women, girls, and children. I'd like to talk about the Equality Act. It's a bill that we'll be voting on this week. It's a bill that was passed before, but it's a bill that needs to be struck down. This is a bill that will add sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes under the federal 1964 Civil Rights Act. We live in a nation, thank God, that declares all of us equal. There should not be discrimination of anyone in the United States of America, and I fully believe that. But I ask everyone to take pause and truly consider what the Equality Act will do, because it has very serious consequences. You see, women have come very far in America, and our rights are extremely important. The work of our grandmothers and mothers to declare women as equal and push our way into the workplace and into sports has been remarkable achievements. Voting, being able to own businesses, achieve education the same as men in America is a gift that I feel so honored and blessed by. And I know that every American woman treasures this. But you see, the Equality Act will change all of that, because it will put trans rights above women's rights, above the rights of our daughters, our sisters, our friends.
She is, of course, a lunatic and a liar.
It's too much. You see, as a woman, I have competed in sports, and I'm so thrilled that I was able to do that, but I competed against biological women. It's a wonderful thing to be able to compete and prove yourself. Competition is a great, great thing. Little girls all over the country play sports. They play their hearts out. They practice. They enjoy time with their friends. Then they compete at higher levels where they can earn scholarships.
And letting trans kids compete won't change any of that.
And achieve and receive an education through playing a sport for their university or college. There's women that move on into professional sport fields and do remarkable things, incredible things for women. For example, Florence Griffith Joyner became the fastest woman in the world in 1988. When she ran the 100-meter dash in 10.49 seconds. I could only dream of being that fast. But in 2019, Matthew Bowling clocked the fastest high school 100-meter time ever in 9.98 seconds, an entire half second quicker than the fastest woman in the world. Biological women cannot compete against biological men. Biological little girls cannot compete against biological...
There's only one problem here, Scott. That kid, the high school kid. Well, okay, that. Yes. Wait a minute. It's all bullshit. But that kid, Matthew, the boy, he isn't a trans girl. He's never been given puberty blockers. He doesn't even remotely identify as trans. But
well, there's that.
And unfortunately, Florence Griffith Joyner is not with us to tell Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber to get her name out of her mouth, because she passed away in 1998.
Yeah, I was wondering what she
I'll
might
bet you.
Say.
I'll bet you a dime to a fucking donut that's exactly why she chose Florence Griffith Joyner.
Probably.
Yeah, because dead women don't condemn right-wing insurrectionist assholes. Oh, but let's let her finish.
Little boys, and they shouldn't have to. I have a daughter that is a D1 athlete. We traveled the country for 10 years.
Athlete?
She competed at the highest
I didn't know
level.
It was three syllables.
She earned her scholarship, and now she plays fast-pitch softball. And I can't tell you how much fun I had watching her play this past weekend, and she hit a home run. But if she has to compete against boys in her sport, not only will they be on her playing field that she has to compete against them, they will be in her locker room, they will be in her showers, they will be in her bathroom.
And they will be girls!
I was waiting for the locker room. argument.
Oh, that's what they worry. Yeah. And of course she does, but of course she's not worried about the boys who are going to have trans boys in their locker room.
Does she say anything about East German Olympic quote women athletes? Because that was a thing for a while.
Yeah.
They try to say, oh, they've injected them.
Oh, no. I'm sure that's been played somewhere by some turf asshole. But
I'm telling you, Bob.
But she the best part of all this is she lost. She spewed all of this hateful vitriol. So am I to understand that her girls, her women's softball team won't be able to compete if it happens that they compete against a team that's got a trans girl on it? Because I seem to recall a similar attitude regarding an individual by the name of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
it's
too terribly long
not a hell of a lot different there, is it?
No. Well, it's this. I just, every time I see her on the TV, I mute the TV and start making that noise I just made. You crazy old coot.
I was thinking more Miss Othmar.
I just, you know, the voters in that district, I think they need to have a field trip down there with, you know, with a UN science bus down there to that district and start checking these people out, because there's something definitely wrong with these folks. There's something wrong with their thinking. Luke, you got to get your mind right. These people actually got up, went out, and fucking voted.
You don't want to see any grab ass, but I see anybody playing grab ass? Into the box!
It's in the box? It's in the box. Okay, all right. I just, you know, they consciously sent this woman to represent them in our U.S. House of Representatives. And whatever happened to the part where the first term Congress people didn't utter a word? They were lucky if they could find where the goddamn restrooms were their first 6 or 8 months.
Because nobody tell them.
Yeah, no, that's right. You think that's...
You've been in some of the House office and Senate office buildings, haven't you?
Oh, years ago.
They all have very specific names. For instance, rooms in Longworth begin with L.
Right.
Well, there is a restroom, I kid you not, somewhere along the way. I took a picture. Not in the restroom, mind you. Goddamn trans people in bathrooms. No, there's a restroom in the Rayburn House office building. And the designation of that restroom is R2-D2.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I thought about opening the and it's a men's room, and I thought about opening the door, but I was afraid I was going to hear.
I found
another one.
A slanted text coming from the bottom of the floor, going through the. You know, just bringing you up to date on the story. That
long, long ago in a men's room far, far away.
Oh, goddamn. R2-D2.
And Matt in San Francisco said, oh, Marjorie. Marjorie's just concerned that she has to match wits daily against people in Congress who actually, you know, have wits. And Marjorie Taylor Gangrene Cueball. Adding the gangrene in there. That's very nice, Jeremy. Marjorie Taylor Gangrene. I think that's going to stick. David in South Carolina Stan also pointed out, she put an anti-trans, transphobic poster on her door outside of her office because her neighbor across the hall has a transgendered child, and flies the trans flag.
And what did the sign say? Do you know? I know what it said.
Yeah, tell us, Scott.
It said, there are two genders. And then underneath, science. Look
no,
it up.
No, no, no. It said, and it was in quotation marks, trust the science.
Trust the science.
It was in
yes.
It was in Dick Finger scare quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meanness and the pettiness and the ignorance that prompts such a thing, it's mind-boggling on some level. On another
now
level,
let's remember, what is Cori Bush? Is that the freshman congresswoman's name from St. Louis?
Yes,
she had to move out of her office, and Marjorie mm-hmm. Taylor Gangrene Cuball stayed in hers because Marjorie Taylor Gangrene Cuball's staff are so uncivilized, such a bunch of grunting freaks, that it was unsafe for Congresswoman Bush and her staff to be near them because they were walking around not wearing masks, you know, hooting and grunting and,
yeah.
you know, like the dude up at the Rippy Mart who stuck his tobacco crumb covered tongue out at me when I asked him to step back and get, you know, socially distant so I could get out the door. Yeah, those kind of people. So
yeah,
so she's proving that she can't, you know, she can't be anybody's neighbor. Why can't they move her? You know, move her for fuck's sake. Yeah, move her next door to Virginia Double X Fox or something. But the fact of the matter is, nobody wants to have anything to do with her because
no,
she's
her
horrible.
Office, her no, no. Why be mean to Ms. Fox? Put
well,
Marjorie
I mean, she is she is Virginia Double X Fox for fuck's sake.
Send a construction crew to put up a special office for Marjorie Taylor Greene at Haynes Point. Anybody who knows the D.C. area knows that Haynes Point is a remote location, beautifully wooded, but it's on the water. There's an excellent view. She doesn't have to look at anything she doesn't want to look at, but it would keep her away from the people who are there to do their fucking jobs.
But especially with regard to Representative, is her name Bush? Need some help from the research department.
Cori Bush.
The fact that a black woman had to move away from her white neighbor, man, the irony is not lost on me.
No, or me either. I just tell you, there's nothing.
That must be the sun. That must be the sundown section of that house office building.
God Almighty! Sundance. God damn. There are towns.
Sundown.
Day where I'm sure you can find a or sundown. What did I say? Sundance. Jesus, I'll be all right. Sundown. There are places in this country that you could go to by train, plane, boat, bus, or car, and see faded. Painted, faded on some wall of some building. And
I have seen them.
Yes, I have seen them too. And they should,
and
they
even,
should it, remain.
Even faded they, away, they make your stomach turn.
They sure as fuck do. And no one thought a thing about it in these places. It was the grand order of things. And that's order with a capital O. Like, you know, the order of the Klan or the order of the Grand Kleagles or the order of the Nazis or the order of, oh, just pick your hate group. Just run your finger down the long column of names of these groups. And just anywhere you stop, put the order of and you'll get a bingo.
Ding.
Up, down, across, diagonal, four corners. Or whatever, or fill the card. Any bingo you want, you'll get. So, I just, and people center there. You know, people.
Precisely. What's wrong with the people of, what is it, the 14th District of Georgia? What the fuck is wrong with them?
It's populated by a bunch of banjo boys out of Deliverance. Ah, God.
Oh, and there's a couple of pieces of breaking news that deserve mention here before the program runs out, Scott.
Oh, do it.
One, the United States has bombed a facility in Syria that was run by an Iran-backed militia, supposedly, and was used to attack American installations. So there's that. Apparently, they didn't just bomb a runway like they didn't just drop a Tomahawk missile on a runway like Nitwit Nero did.
They send any mechanical dogs?
Not yet. But the other one, and this one has a lot more. This one has a lot more immediacy for working people in this country. The fucking parliamentarian of the Senate of the United States has ruled that an increase in the minimum wage cannot be folded into a budget reconciliation package and can't be appealed. The ruling is final.
Well, did she give a reason? Because they're supposed to give a reason or excuse or whatever.
I just saw the story come across.
She said it
violated the budgetary rules that limit what can be included in the package.
But wait a minute. Isn't the criteria that it must have an impact on the budget?
It has to have a budgetary impact.
I would think that a $15 an hour national minimum wage would, in fact, have an impact on the budget, and it would have a positive impact on the budget because wages are earned income is taxed.
Apparently not. You know, the parliamentarian wields in the background a considerable amount of power. The parliamentarian decides where bills go when they are introduced in committee or introduced into the Congress. The parliamentarian decides that. No committee chairs, the parliamentarian does it.
I never knew that.
And
in other words, she says where the bill go, which committee it goes to first, and if there's a secondary committee, which committee it goes to next for consideration and committee vote before it's passed on to the full House.
This is a real stick in the spokes of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Because what's due to be voted on by the House as early as tomorrow, it has the minimum wage language in it. So it may be, the Senate parliamentarian has no impact on what the House does. But by the same token, the House doesn't want to just send something over that's immediately going to be deep sixed by a bureaucrat.
Yeah. Well, if you partook of your filthy morning habit this morning,
which I did not,
they addressed that. Okay, they addressed that rather well, I thought. Joe or one of the guests on the program was saying, "Well, go ahead, make it a separate bill. Make the $15 an hour minimum wage a separate bill, and that way the Republicans will be forced to vote on two things that there's overwhelming public support, bipartisan public support for: the fucking COVID relief bill, all $1.9 trillion of it, and a national $15 an hour minimum wage. Put them on the record if you must do that. Go ahead and do it because it'll make for
The thing is, at least in the Senate, how is there a price to be paid for a senator from Alabama who's up in 22? Well, Richard Shelby's not going to run. But how is that going to impact Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist in Kentucky?
I may have an answer, courtesy of Morning Joe. Somebody pointed out, and I never even considered it in this framework, but what is the federal minimum wage now, $7.25 or $7.50 an hour?
It's ridiculously low, but yeah.
Okay. Now, whatever it was before then, when someone was proposing the $7.25 an hour current minimum wage, there were people who fought against it, thinking that the other thing was better. Do you mean to tell me that they're going to stand up there, ramrod straight, and fight on behalf of something like the past, you know, like, oh, well, we couldn't possibly, they didn't, in other words, if the minimum wage prior to what it is now was, let's say, $4.75, just to pick a random number, there were people back then who said, oh, we mustn't go beyond $4.75. We mustn't bring $7.25 as the current, you know, as the new way to be, because it'll ruin everything. It'll be awful. It'll be awful. And that's what they're saying now. Now they're saying, oh, we couldn't possibly have $15 an hour. But yet they're supporting $7.25 when at one time they opposed it. You get the dynamic. And it's just so hypocritical.
The nearest that they can get to absolute poverty, they will support. But remember, it's a central tenet of the Republican platform, I think, still, that minimum wage laws should be repealed.
Why? What?
Now, this is interesting. I didn't know this. Matt in San Francisco said, it's time for Kamala. Kamala can override the parliamentarian, as that is only an advisory role.
Well, and the Republicans have done it before. When it's something that they want, that the parliamentarian has spoken on, has said, no, this must not happen, that's only an advisory thing. It's only an opinion as parliamentarian. There's no law, constitutional or otherwise.
Well, no, there is a law. There is a law of the universe that affects this. IOKIYAR.
Well, yes, I know that, but I'm trying to talk sense, Robin. I mean, come on, we're not.
Oh, I'm talking sense.
Oh, I know. It's the natural order of things in their minds. But that's what I'm saying. If the parliamentarian, and this, I don't know the case number, but there have been instances, multiple instances in our recent history where the parliamentarian advised against it and the Republican Senate went ahead and did it anyway. Now, wait a minute. Is that a double standard? Well, yes, we're up to our asses in double standards. And I'm tired of it. I keep stepping in it.
We got double standards for a month of Sundays.
There's piles of nuts and bolts and batteries.
I thought that was high quality.
God damn robotic.
I thought that was beautiful.
Next, that little fucker's going to raise his hind leg, and there'll be a stream of Tang coming out. Because you know Tang went to the moon with the astronauts.
Of course it did. Yes, of course. Hey, Scott, we got to get out of here. It's that time.
No, don't go. Don't go.
I know. But Agnes and I are going to have pizza and a movie tonight.
Ooh, when the moon hits your eye. Ooh, baby. All right, well, you take care. Give Agnes a big old hug.
I certainly
now,
will.
Old Scott in San Diego would hug her like that if he was right there, but he ain't.
And you'd best be glad you aren't, because, stings.
Not enough pizza.
Stings.
All right. Well, you take care, and good night to you, and good night to the Horn family. I'm waving. I'm smiling. I'm waving. Goodbye, Mr. Lincoln. Goodbye, Mr. Matthews.
All right. See you, Scott. Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. It is. It's time to get out of here. I had a note from Darlene agreeing with Scott and Matt in San Francisco. My sense, too, looks like it doesn't bind the House. And Chuck Schumer can tweak the language to try to still get it through, but this is so gross to behold in 2021. It is. It's disgusting. And, of course, if Kamala Harris can step in and overrule, then she's trying to be the dictator of us. You're not the boss of us. You can hear it now, can't you? Oh, by the way, going back to the whole thing with Chris Hayes, had a note from Todd. Your national outing was rich with content and from experience. You've been on the money about Joe Manchin from the beginning, ahead of the curve, again. Todd really wants us to change the name of the program to Ahead of the Curve with Robin Kincaid. And adds, next time, make sure you let Chris know that you make the cowbell talk. Yeah, I don't think they'd appreciate it if I brought the cowbell to the program, but damn, wouldn't it be fun? Yeah. Let's see. So that's gonna wrap things up for the evening. A reminder: the GoFundMe page link is at the top of the page. And I hate to flog it like that, but God, it would be great to be able to get this over and get move on. I'm sorry, but thanks to all of you who keep this program going with your kind subscriptions at Patreon and PayPal, your a la carte contributions. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The best place to listen to Malloy in the first run is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep betting, getting better. Ben is on the mend, but he still hurts like hell, and I certainly understand that. And my heart goes out to you, my dear friend, and I hope it gets better quickly. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home, if you have to go down to the settlements for provisions like I do from time to time, take every possible precaution, please. Wear your mask. Wear double masks. One of them disposable. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use lots of hand sanitizer. Carry it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. 15 feet between people wearing masks, and great God Almighty, you don't want to be, you can't afford to be near people not. And of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, "There won't be any more women's softball," avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all.